It is finally game time. I will be in Cincinnati covering the Vikings on Sunday. We're going to preview the Bengals-Vikings game and talk about a lot of Vikings issues here on the Viking Update Show with John Krasinski. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. John writes for The Athletic. Brandon Morton is our producer. John, I thought because we've already talked about so many issues, I thought I'd put this in a more encapsulated form as we get rolling here. I'm going to ask you questions, get your answer, and I'll offer my perspective on the same questions. Then we'll get into a little more general Viking talk and NFL talk later in the show. We do want to thank our sponsors, BetUS, BetUS.com. That's BETUS.com. John and I will be picking games, including the Vikings game, at the end of this show and telling you more about the BetUS mobile app and everything else. Thanks also to Star Bank and Pizza Barn in Princeton. Let's start really big picture here. Who would you pick to be in the Super Bowl and to win the Super Bowl at this moment?
Who would I pick for the Super Bowl? Okay, we're coming out firing here.
Yes.
Let's see here. We talked a little bit last week about some long shots that we are going to take. But I think like the conventional thing, I always hate to do it. So I'm not going to go Kansas City, even though I do think that's going to be a super popular pick. The NFC, I think, is wide open. But I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I just think, like, I love their coaching. I think that Lamar's finally going to have a breakthrough. And so I'm going to go Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to go with – who am I going to go with in the NFC? Let's see. I'll take the –
well, you're such a Packer
apologist. I'll take the Los Angeles Rams,
Matthew
Stafford. I know, right? I know. But as much of an apologist as I am for them, I also like to see their fans squirm. So I'm going to say the Los Angeles Rams and the Baltimore Ravens. Go that way and see how I come out on top of it.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say that I have a lot of trouble being honest and not picking the Bucs and the Chiefs. I just think the Bucs are by far the best NFC team, and the Chiefs are by far – I think the Chiefs, when healthy, are still the best team, and I just can't bet against Mahomes. So I'm going to give you my secondary pick as well, since we know that my number one pick has doomed the Bucs and the Chiefs, and now they have no chance
of
this moment of advancing. I'm going to go Rams over Bills. I give McVay, you know, his record isn't perfect or anything. He got Jared Goff to the Super Bowl. I think Stafford is better than Goff. I think their defense is better this year than it was that year. I think I think McVay is the kind of guy who can learn on the fly as well. So I'm going to go Rams winning it all with Matthew Stafford over the Bills, who will find a way to – and I'm picking – and again, if I had to bet my own money, I'd bet Bucks and Chiefs. But if I had to find a secondary pick, it would be Rams against Bills. Now I'm going to give you the opportunity if you have a secondary pick.
Secondary pick. Well, see, like, and you know, I thought about obviously Bucks and Chiefs a lot, but I just kind of go back to history. I mean, how often do we have a rematch in a Super Bowl? It's just it really is rare, and so that's why I kind of lean against that. So if I'm going to go secondarily, I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns. Love Kevin Stefanski. I love the momentum that they started to build last year, even though PJ Fleck does not agree with momentum, does not believe in it. I believe in it. I think the Browns are headed the right way. And I'm going to go a little bit more dark horse here. I'm going to go Arizona Cardinals with the out of the NFC. I love Kyler Murray. I think that he had a really strong start to last season, tailed off a little bit toward the end. I think he's kind of built up his body. He's ready for the rigors of a 17-game schedule now. And I think that he can make some things happen offensively for that team. They had some defensive improvements as well. And so I'm going to go a little off the board and take Arizona Cardinals, Cleveland Browns, and see how that works out.
All right. The rest of the categories are going to be more Viking-centric. We're going to get into it right now. Once again, thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see the shows as they were released. If you'd like to advertise this show or anywhere on the network, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. We've added a bunch of specialty shows, a bunch of variety shows, including Raising Your Paws, sponsored by Nutrisource, which is great for pet owners, and tons of outdoor content. Thanks again for listening, and thanks again to Brandon Morton for keeping it all together. By the way, PJ's right about momentum, but we can get into that another time. Let's get into the Vikings' greatest strength.
The Vikings' greatest strength, Dalvin Cook. He's their greatest strength. He's the home run hitter. He's the most consistent player. He can do the most. You can make plays in the passing game, can make plays in the running game. We'll see about how the offensive line holds up. I still like his chances when he gets out into space. I still think he's going to be tough enough and durable enough to withstand the punishment as well. And he's the one guy that I feel really good about. We can, you know, we've gone on and on about Cousins. We'll see what the defense brings and all that. But Dalvin Cook is definitely my pick for their greatest strength.
One of the reasons I wanted to start my own podcast network is I didn't want to have a bunch of shows where you had staged arguments. So I'm not going to argue with you. I can't argue against Dalvin Cook. I will just say that I would shade toward the defensive line just because it's a more important position. It's more crucial to their success. We saw what happened last year when they couldn't stop the run. The combination of Hunter, Pierce, Tomlinson, and Richardson being there when they weren't there last year, I think that I'll put it a different way. If their defensive line doesn't end up being their greatest strength, they might be in really big trouble.
I think that's fair to say. Absolutely. I mean, you look at how this team is built right now, and with the offensive question marks with Kirk Cousins, with the offensive line, certainly with the third receiver, a lot of things like that, Irv Smith being out, it could be another scenario where the Vikings really need their defense to carry them, or at least to really kind of turn these games into 24-21 games instead of 31-28. And so Mike Zimmer's obviously relying on that a lot. Danielle Hunter's looked great in the preseason and practices and things like that. So that bodes well. I just think that in an offensive era, I'm leaning more towards Cook because I think they're just going to need to put points on the board.
Let's go to greatest weakness. The Vikings' greatest weakness as we talk going into opening day.
The greatest weakness? Offensive line. I'm still going to say it. Until I see this group come together and play with an edge, with a toughness against really high quality competition, I'm going to continue to doubt them. And maybe the way that this offensive line starts the season and the way that it could look entirely different by the end of the year if Christian Darrisaw works his way into things, if Wyatt Davis eventually comes into the mix there. The group could look a lot different than it does in week one. But if we're starting week one with where this season is, with where this team has to be, and what they need to do to be successful, I just have not seen anything from the offensive line that says to me, problem solved. We're moving forward, and it's not going to be any type of an issue at all. I really do worry about Rashad Hill at left tackle. I worry about Ole Udo. I worry about Garrett Bradbury, to be quite frank, as well, has not been the dominant force. He's been okay, but has not been dominant. And so I just think that all of that kind of coming together has to be the one thing that can really raise the ceiling on this season if they do kind of coalesce and they really exceed expectations. But if they are continuing to be either mediocre or worse, it's going to be a lot harder for Dalvin Cook, a lot harder for Kirk Cousins to make plays and do what they need to do. And so that's why I think that offensive line is absolutely the biggest weakness going into week one here.
I just can't argue with anything you said, so I'm not going to. I agree with you. Offensive line is the most important aspect of this team in terms of being a pivotal part of this team. If it's decent, this team could be surprisingly good. If it's bad, this team has no chance. So you're absolutely right about that. I have more Viking questions for John. We do want to tell you about BetUS.com, BETUS.com, with sports betting season in full force. You need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You'll receive 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code TNorth125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. BetUS has all your NBA and NHL games with team and player props, loads of NFL futures and NFL odds up already. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf and round matchups, and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy and full of betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS, you bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. We would also like to tell you about Star Bank. Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your bank or cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. Also check out, and also, by the way, while we're talking about this stuff, check out the John Krasinski Show and the Timberwolves, also at talknorth.com. And also on, we would like to thank Pizza Barn in Princeton. Pizza Barn in Princeton has been sponsoring Preps Today with John Millay for quite a while now, and they are sponsoring other shows across the network. They now have a food truck. So I recommend if you're in the Northwest Metro, drop by Pizza Barn. It's a cool little place, great atmosphere. Jody Stay, the owner, employs lots of high school kids. She works their schedules around so they can participate in their high school activities and still make a little money on the side. She takes care of local officials. It is a true community-owned and community-serving institution. Check out pizzabarnprinceton.com. All right, let's get to the next Vikings question here. So give me the Vikings area that has the greatest variance. In other words, what is the Vikings area that could be great or could be terrible? What has, you know, I'm not phrasing it well, but I think you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, Jim. How about this for maybe a little different one? How about play calling, offensive play calling?
Ooh, okay.
Because we don't know what Clint Kubiak is going to do. Maybe he is the next whiz kid. You know, has an unbelievable feel for the flow of a game, can adjust on the fly, can really make adjustments, can read a game and be a step ahead of a defense and keep them on their toes. And maybe he'll be totally dialed in. So you could see, a very high level with the talent that he has to work with at the skill positions, even after Irv Smith is out, you still have a lot to work with there. So this offense could be one that could be very productive, score a bunch of points, and be a, you know, a top 10 type of a unit. Or if Clint Kubiak is one of those guys who just does not really have the feel for the game, or maybe things are moving too fast for him early on in the season, maybe he really kind of struggles with that part of it. Maybe he just doesn't have just, you know, the right on a situation continuity, struggles as a play caller. And then I could see, you know, this offense sort of kind of being stuck in mud a little bit and having a hard time finding an identity and staying with it and being productive and being consistent from week one all the way through the season. And so I honestly have no idea. And that's why I think the variance is so high. I mean, maybe he's a great play caller. Maybe he's a terrible play caller. Maybe it's somewhere in between there, but I think that could really swing their possibilities in terms of what they can do offensively and what they can do as a team with how Clint Kubiak kind of really settles into the position of play caller for the first time in his career.
That's a good one. And I too will pick something maybe a little under the radar here, since we've already talked about some other major issues. And I'm going to say offensive skill position depth. Right now they're dependent on Cousins, Cook, Jefferson, and Thielen to make them special. And they don't have a real backup quarterback. They have Sean Mannion. I think Alexander Mattison is a nice backup, but he's not Dalvin Cook, and the entire offense is built around Dalvin Cook's specific skills. They don't really have a proven third receiver, unless you believe D.D. Westbrook's going to be that person. We just haven't seen enough to really know that yet, and really we don't know what kind of depth they have beyond D.D. Westbrook. And without Irv Smith, Conklin has to move up half a step, and now Chris Herndon, Chris Herndon might be a decent player, All I know is the New York Jets didn't need him or want him. That's a really bad sign. So I just don't have much faith in the offensive depth right now. They really need to stay healthy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a great point. And I think the Herndon part is something that I think a lot of Vikings fans have to maybe get their mind around. There's a reason that the Jets were willing to let him go. Now, I think the Vikings paid a decent price to go get him, but it's the New York Jets. And if with a rookie quarterback, so you would think that they would want as many weapons around him, as many safety blankets around him to make his life as easy as possible. And so I don't think that I would cut bait on a rookie quarterback. And so that doesn't mean that Chris Herndon is going to come here and just be a complete non-factor. I actually like Tyler Conklin. I think he can be effective in the passing game, maybe not quite as explosive as Irv Smith, but I'm not going to be one who is picking Chris Herndon up on the fantasy team because the Vikings just got him. So I think you got to temper your expectations with him. And you really do have to look at just sort of the razor's edge that this team is going to walk all season long because of the thin depth and because of the way that they pay their star players or their established players so much money. They reward clearly everything that they've done, but that really puts stress on the bottom part of your roster. And so that's why you saw in the preseason when starters were held out, how ugly it looked. And I don't think there's any reason to believe that if a player gets hurt, if a player gets put on COVID, on the COVID list, whatever it is in the regular season, and he's at a skill position on offense, that you can really expect anyone beneath him to really come in and carry that thing forward. So absolutely another good one to watch. I would certainly look at the secondary as well. As another kind of, maybe Patrick Peterson becomes, really kind of reinvigorates himself under Mike Zimmer, really reestablishes himself as a top flight corner and helps that group really kind of come together. Or maybe you start to see, hey, this guy's just getting old and he's on the downward part of his career. If that's the case, then that secondary is in real trouble.
All right. Best case scenario for this team. What's the high end? You could see them, hey, it wasn't that long ago. They went 13-3, the backup quarterback and backup running back. Mm-hmm. I don't think I see that with this team because the rest of that roster was so exceptional and in its prime. But if everything goes right, that can go right. What's the high end for this team?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I think 11 or 12 wins, maybe 12, 12-5 could be the high watermark of this. If, the offensive line comes together, if Greg Joseph is a kicker that is reliable, if Clint Kubiak settles into that play calling, if Kirk Cousins stays healthy, if Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson stay on the field, if Danielle Hunter resumes his role as one of the best defensive players in the league, if Harrison Smith shows that he still has plenty of left in the tank, if Patrick Peterson is reinvigorated, like if all of those things, if in a perfect world, everything comes together, the defense really raises up, the offense becomes potent enough to score, 28, 30 points in a game on a regular basis. Yeah, I think they could get to 12 wins. And then that maybe puts the division in play, depending on what Green Bay does. So that's what I would say for their high end watermark. I don't think they're a team that can get to 13, 14 wins. I just don't see that possibility within them, but certainly a very solid 11, 12 wins. And then, then you're in play for winning a game in the playoffs. I could put them down for that.
Yeah, I'd put them down for 11 as my high water. I will start off with my answer for the next question, which is what's the worst case scenario? And I think there are some real terrible worst case scenarios out there, whether it's from COVID, whether it's injuries to key players, whether it's the coach, Kubiak not really being able to handle it, whether it's Zimmer melting down because he hates his team. I will say 5-12 as the low water mark. Listen, I think they're going to beat the Lions twice. I think they're going to win opening day in Cincinnati. It's not like they're going to winless, but I think if things go south, and even if they have an early losing streak, I think things could get really ugly for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I saw on the NFL Network that they put 5 as kind of the low mark as well. I'll go I think I will go six. I'll just say six because I think Zimmer is a good enough coach to help them avoid a four-win season, a five-win season, and just squeeze a little bit more blood out of the turnip. But I do think that there is a potential for a disaster situation here. I mean, if Kirk Cousins misses some time, I don't think all of their problems at quarterback were solved with Sean Mannion. I would have much rather seen some kind of Gardner Minshew type move where you get somebody who actually has a little bit of track record of success in games in the NFL, and Sean Mannion just does not have that. So I feel very nervous about the quarterback situation. Certainly feel very nervous about a lot of the defense. I mean, Anthony Barr, who knows what you're going to get there. Patrick Peterson is older. Harrison Smith is older. Danielle Hunter looks great and everything sounds great, but who knows what happens there. Like, I just think there are a lot of things that could happen, and you don't even need a lot for things to go wrong. If Kirk Cousins misses any extended time, I mean, you know, this team is sunk. And you might be able to say that about a lot of teams, but I just think that's especially kind of the situation here with the Vikings, with how limited their depth is. So I'll say six just to be a little bit different from you, but I really do have the same reservations that things could really go poorly with just a couple of unlucky, unfortunate situations that surface around here. Maybe Greg Joseph can't just get it together in the regular season and can't kick field goals. I mean, this is a team that's probably going to play a lot of close games. And so that could really lower their ceiling. It's just a team that has so many things that could just go slightly wrong. And then that really kind of takes all of the wind out of their sails. So, you know, if it's a kicking situation, there's a lot of things that just make me really hesitant to bet on this team as being one that you can rely on, that can get to the playoffs, that can do a lot of the things that Vikings fans are really hoping it to do.
So we're going to do two more things on this show. Thank you again to BetUS, to Star Bank, and to Pizza Barn in Princeton. We're going to pick the predicted order to finish in the NFC North. Then we're going to go into our BetUS game picks, in which we will pick the Vikings-Bengals game. So what's your predicted order to finish in the NFC North?
Predicted order finish, I'm going to go with Packers, Vikings, Bears, Lions. I think that the Lions are just still in some sort of kind of rebuilding, retooling mode, so I do not trust them at all. I hope that we see Justin Fields for the Bears a lot earlier than Matt Nagy seems to want to. He seems to want to be playing games there. But I still, because they're going to be playing those games, I can't with a good conscience pick them to finish second. The Vikings, as people will know from listening to this, I'm just very nervous about them. They could be really good. They could be really bad. So I can't pick them certainly to win the division. And as long as Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams are in Green Bay, I just don't see how you pick against them. And so I think that, you know, just given, I would say, given the coaching pedigrees, I believe in Mike Zimmer and his coaching staff to get the Vikings to competent. And I don't believe in the Bears or the Lions yet on that side of things. So I'm going to pick the Vikings second and the Packers first. But that's more of a default position than I think anything else at this point, just because the other two teams are so unreliable that it even kind of makes me more nervous for them than I am about the Vikings. And I'm already really nervous about the Vikings.
I'm going to take Packers, Bears, Vikings, Lions. I think that I'd rather have Dalton and Fields than Cousins and Mannion. And David Montgomery started to become a better running back. He hasn't closed the gap on Dalvin Cook, but he's at least a good running back. They do have a defense. They do have a significant home field advantage. I think Justin Fields could be really good. And I think they have more roster depth than the Vikings. So I'm going to take the Bears to finish second. Of course, they could come down to the last game week of the season.
If that happens, Jim, do you think that do you see a house cleaning at the end of the year?
For the Vikings?
Yes.
Yeah, if I had to pick a scenario right now, I would say this season, whether it's injuries or COVID concerns, whatever, I think this season goes south and the Vikings clean house at the end.
Oof. All right. Well, that's a bold prediction there. We'll have to see. But I would tend to agree. Like, it feels like this is sort of everyone has been in place for a long, long time. So it's put up or shut up type time. And even if there are some, things out of their control, like it's hard to blame Zimmer if your quarterback gets COVID or is on the COVID list and misses time because the quarterback is a hard-headed, stubborn mule and won't get the vaccine. Like, how do you hold Zimmer accountable for that? But it just feels like we're at this point where, there's not going to be any more excuses that can be made. And this has reached a point in the life cycle where it's time for real good things to happen or bad things to happen and a fresh start. So, I do agree that I think if they finish third and miss the playoffs and do those things, then I think that it could be, the Wolves will finally probably get out of their pragmatic ways and say, okay, let's go find some new voices here.
Yeah, and that's why I wrote something sympathetic about Zimmer this last weekend, is because I really could see him, coaching as well as he's capable of coaching, and he's a proven good coach, and still getting fired just because, again, injuries, COVID protocol, Spielman didn't have enough roster depth, they signed the wrong players. I really could see Zimmer getting fired even if it's not his fault.
That's true, yeah. And then you wonder, like, will Spielman be the guy that hires the new guy? Or do they start at certainly, and they certainly value consistency, but I don't know, man. I think all bets are off, when it comes down to how this season is going to go. And if they go to the lower end of the spectrum, 5, 6, 7 wins, it might be hard for anyone to keep their job.
Agreed. Let's go to the BetUS picks now. BetUS.com is the website. They also have a great mobile app. We're going to pick three games, or actually going to pick all the division games. Let's go Bears at Rams. Rams giving 7.5 points.
I got to like the Rams early on. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. They can't be losing to the Bears in Week 1.
I agree with you. I think the Rams win and win big, regardless of what I just said about the Bears. I don't think the Bears are just in the same league as the Rams. I don't think they'll travel well either. 49ers against the Lions. 49ers giving 7.5.
I'm intrigued to see what the 49ers do with their quarterback situation. It looks like Garoppolo is going to start, and we'll see what happens with that. So I'm not necessarily a huge believer in their offense early, but I still do think they're certainly better than the Lions. And I think that, some people believe that they could be a feisty team in the NFC and maybe one that kind of gets back to where they were a few years ago when they were stomping on the Vikings in the playoffs. And so I'm going to take Niners over the Lions without losing much sleep on that one.
49ers are a well-coached, competent team. The Lions are, I think the Lions could be an embarrassment this year. I'm going to go the 49ers big. I would give away any number of points in that game. Packers at Saints. Packers giving 4.5 points. Road game giving 4.5 points.
This is a sneaky one, Jim, because I think people are discounting the Saints a little bit, especially defensively. The Saints are really strong. I really want to see Sean Payton and what he does with Jameis Winston, because Winston obviously threw for 1 million yards and 1 million interceptions in Tampa. I think in a different system that, there's a real potential for him to have kind of a breakout season and really reestablish himself as a good quarterback in this league. I have a hard time picking against the Packers, though. I think their continuity, I think Rodgers and Adams, I'm going to take the Packers, but I think I'll take the Saints to cover that spread. But I think the Packers win in a tight one.
If Michael Thomas were healthy, I'd probably lean Saints. I just think Jameis Winston, new to that offense, no outstanding receiver to rely on. I think the Packers find a way to win that and win it by 7 or so. So I will take the Packers. Now, Minnesota at Cincinnati on Sunday afternoon, noon game. Vikings on the road, giving up 3 points.
I'm going to take the Bengals here, Jim. I just don't like a lot of what I have seen from the Vikings. Now, you can say you're giving too much to the preseason where a lot of the guys haven't played, but I just have a bad feeling about this team right now. I don't feel like they have been able to put in the work that they need to feel confident going into this game. This is kind of a Bengals team that I'm certainly not very high on, but it just feels like one of those games where the Vikings go on the road and maybe they come out of the gate slow and just stub their toe, and then they're going to be behind the eight ball right at the start. And it doesn't mean that they can't salvage a season. It doesn't mean that they can't get going. But I just think there are too many things that have happened during this preseason that have prevented them from coming together the way that they need to go into a game on the road feeling confident. And so I just have a hard time betting on them right now.
It's interesting. I agree with everything you just said, except the conclusion. I just think that even if this is a terrible Viking season, this will be one of their five or six victories. I think the Bengals are awful. I think that their defensive line is not very good. If they block Trey Hendrickson, the one place on the field where they have a legitimate matchup advantage, if the Vikings just scheme him out of the pass rush and run the ball against this team, they win. And I think this offensive line is built better to run block than pass block. I think if they run block, everything falls into place for them. So I will take the Vikings to win and cover. Hey, thank you to BetUS for sponsoring this segment and this program. Thanks again to Star Bank and Pizza Barn in Princeton. We're going to go to John here for a final thought before our first big game. I'm really looking forward to being in an NFL stadium and covering something live here. And thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. John, give us a final thought.
Yeah, my final thought, Jim, is like I just really want to see Dalvin Cook out there going to work again. And I mean, it very well could be that my jitters right now are based mostly on the fact that we have not seen him out there, that he really changes the entire identity of this team when he is out there and when he is effective, and that things will be just fine. But because it has been so long since we have seen him, I think that's what is really kind of contributing to the overall doubts or certainly anxiety about how this season is going to go for them. And if he comes out guns blazing, I remember a few years back, you know, Adrian Peterson first carry against the Detroit Lions and he just busted it for 80 yards or whatever. Like, that's the kind of thing that Dalvin Cook can do. And that can settle things down really quickly. And there's going to be a lot on his shoulders. And so we're going to find out, I think, fairly early on in the season how ready he is and how much the Vikings offense revolves around him. And that's the whole key to this entire season on number 33.
Good stuff from John. Good stuff. Thank you to Brandon Morton for putting this all together. We will be talking to you next week about the Vikings and Bengals and about the Vikings going to Arizona.